I want to entitle the message, More Than Just Peace. More Than Just Peace. I'm afraid if the church goes to extremes, we can leave out the extraordinary. If we're not careful, we will simplify things to such a degree that we will cause those that have an extraordinary experience with God to be silenced. I've been a missionary Baptist most of my life. The first place my parents ever took me when I was born was a missionary Baptist church. And I often heard people testify of the profound experiences they have had with God. Actually, if you study the scriptures, you cannot deny that from Genesis, where Adam was walking with God in the cool of the day, to the book of Revelation, where John the Revelator saw heaven descend, saw the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. You cannot deny the profound experiences that man has had with God. And we oftentimes hear among us people that have unique or profound experiences with God. Now, I don't think we should silence them. I don't think we should silence those that have experiences with God that are extraordinary, beyond that of just a simple peace. Now, let me say this in the preface of this message. I do believe that those that get saved develop and have a peace with God. There is an extraordinary spiritual divine peace that you must have with God. I believe there's a peace from God that we receive from Him that we experience on a daily basis. There are things that we go through that we can go through with the peace of God. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, it's a peace of God that passes all understanding. It is not a natural peace. It is a supernatural peace. It is not a carnal or physical peace. It is a spiritual peace. And I believe God's people have that peace. You don't know peace till you know the Prince of Peace. Amen. When you know Him. When you have Jesus in your heart and life, there is a profound, spiritual, divine, unique peace. And I believe we must have that. We need that. And surely as we agonize over our sins, when a person is under conviction, when we're in trouble, when we've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we've gone through the pains of hell, when we've experienced the conviction to such a degree that we feel like that we cannot find God, where that sin has weighed us down and the burden of sin is so great, when the blood of Jesus comes into our heart, when the forgiveness of sin comes into our life, yes, there's an amazing peace at the end of that conflict. But let's not get to the point to where we silence those that see a light. Let's not silence those that have a vision. Let's not silence those that have a dream. I pastored in Memphis, and the deacon there, he often told his experience, and he told about the Lord coming to him in a dream. Every time he told his experience of salvation, it was the same. He talked about this dream that where the Lord came to him. And hey, have you read the Bible lately? What about the young man seeing visions, the old man dreaming dreams? What about where we read about those like Jacob who dreamed a dream at Bethel? And awoke from his sleep and said, Whoa, God is in this place. God was in my dream. Isn't that what he said? Amen. Now let's be careful that we don't go to extremes and eliminate the extraordinary. There are people that get saved and they come up shouting happy. I mean, they get a big dose of it. Amen. I've seen people get saved and shout all over the house afterwards. Amen. Now, you may not experience that. You don't have to experience that to know that you're saved. But at the same time, let's not, because we haven't experienced it, say that others don't experience it. I don't know why God laid this message on my heart. I think that there are people, however, among us that feel like that they cannot share their experience because it's so extraordinary. And they're afraid that it will cause someone to doubt, or they're afraid that I don't know, through sharing their experiences, the experience that they have with God, that someone might get confused. You know, your experience may be confusing, but man, if it's an experience from God, it's your experience. And Paul was one of those. He was on the road to Damascus. He was traveling to put the church, or put people who worship Jesus and who serve Jesus, in prison and even to the point of death. But he was on the road to Damascus and something happened. What happened to Paul? Was there more than peace? Did Paul have a salvation experience that was more than just peace? Well, let's look. As he told those there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, what he went through. Let us notice as he was speaking to his brethren in the Hebrew language. I want to begin in about verse 4. He says, "And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, and also the high priest. Both bear my witness and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I believe Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus. I believe that the Apostle Paul saw a great light in his salvation experience. Now, I know there are people today that make fun of visions of dreams. I know there are people today that make fun of seeing a great light or experiencing something extraordinary when you get saved. But my friend, the Bible is full of such experiences. One cannot deny, whether it was Paul or Zacchaeus, that small man that went up in the sycamore tree in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He came down. I love his salvation experience. Yes, Jesus saw him there and said, "Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house today." And he came down out of that tree. He went with Jesus to his home. He got saved. And when he got saved, he stood up and he made a declaration. He says, "Half of what I have, I'm giving to the poor. And if I have wronged anybody of anything, I will reimburse them four times what I took from them." What a salvation experience that was. He got a little more than peace, didn't he? I tell you, there's some power associated with salvation. I believe that when Jesus saves your soul, He changes your life. Amen. There must be a transformed life when we get saved. There must be something that comes into our heart and life that makes a difference. We are transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. When we are saved by the grace of God, we hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." Now, I believe that once you get saved, not only will you walk by faith, but you will follow the Lord. I believe there are times in our lives where there's evidence, more evidence in what we do than what we say. Amen. Faith, James said, that faith without works is dead. You must have a living, vibrant faith. There must be evidence of your life that you've been to the cross. There must be evidence of you in your life that the Holy Spirit is in your heart. And that evidence is only known and shown by the way you live your life. You live like the devil. I don't care what kind of peace you got. It wasn't the peace of God. Do we really believe in the perseverance of the saints? Huh? We've had people that have come to this altar. They've gotten up. They have said, "I've got peace with God. I've taken them into the waters of baptism." We haven't seen hide nor hair of them in the last 9 years. 8 years. 7 years. Whatever it was. They're out there living in the world, living like the devil. They didn't get the kind of peace I got. Now listen, I'm a Baptist. I believe in perseverance of the saints. I really do. I believe the saved will persevere unto the end. Just like Jesus taught. I believe if you get saved, you can't lose it, but you can't get away from it either. Amen. The Lord will come after you. He will chasten you. And if you do go astray, God will get a hold of you. And He'll give you a good whooping. Oh yes, a chastening. Bible teaches that. Bible says that those that are the children of the Lord are chastening the Lord. And those that are not chastened, they're bastards and not sons. Those that are children of the Lord, they experience many things from the Lord beyond that of peace. Amen. Yeah, I've had peace with God, but I've also had some times in my life where the power of the Lord came down upon me and I was chastened of Him. That wasn't a pleasant or a peaceful time. Amen. More than just peace. Paul was telling this man, and as he continues to go through and he tells this crowd, and he told King Agrippa basically the same thing in the 26th chapter where he, I want you to look there, as he told King Agrippa, he was not ashamed to not only tell his people, but to stand before kings and emperors and rulers and people in high places and tell them he saw a great light from heaven when he met Jesus. I want to encourage you, if nothing else, this message is for you. For those of you that have an extraordinary experience with the Lord. Now, let me say this. Some of us got saved at a very young age. And yet up in years, we still have had some extraordinary experiences with the Lord. Paul, in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, I'm not boasting, okay? And it's not good to boast, but I want to tell you something. I had something about 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But I do know this. I was called up into the third heaven. I heard things that's not lawfully to be uttered. I don't know what I went through, but I went through something that was profound, that was beyond just peace with God. I got caught up into the third heaven. Didn't Paul say that? Amen. I've seen some of you go through some extraordinary things in your walk with the Lord. Amen? Beyond that of just peace. There are trials and tribulations that you've gone through, and man, the Lord gave you some profound assurance that He was with you. Amen? And He was by your side. The Lord's presence, we can sense. But let's not deny that there are times. Do you guys really believe that Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father? We sing that song here a lot. Where Stephen said, I see Jesus. Did he really see Jesus? Are you telling me that he was able without a telescope to see beyond the sky and see beyond the universe and to see right into heaven and see the Lord of glory standing up at the right hand of the Father? Y'all really believe that? All of these profound, extraordinary experiences. Some of you need to have the same vision that Peter had on that housetop. But there's nothing common or unclean. Was the Lord speaking to Peter in that vision? Huh? Why, it was through that vision that the Gentiles were saved. I'm telling you, it got a hold of Peter. Caused Peter to go to the house of Cornelius and preach Jesus in the 10th chapter of Acts. And even Cornelius had his own little vision. Amen? An understanding from the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what the problem is. We try to humanize God. Make Him fit into our little box. I'm trying to tell you, as Isaiah said in the 46th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord said, I am the Lord God and there's none other like me. Amen. Yes. We try to make an idol out of our God. God can do what He wants to do. God is real. God is a spirit. God interacts with us. You must have a profound experience with God or you have not been saved. You might say, well, I didn't see a light. I didn't go through this or that. No, but there must be a time and place in your life where you once were lost and now you found. Amen. Where you once were blind and now you see. You once were in the kingdom of darkness. Now you're in the kingdom of His dear Son. There once was a time when you were in darkness and now you're in the light of the Lord. There must be an illumination take place deep down inside of your soul or you are not saved. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that it's a natural thing. I'm not saying that you must have a natural thing. But there must be a spiritual perception where God comes into your heart and life. And when it's really of God, it will stay there. It will stay with you. It'll work on your heart. It'll work on your life. I'm not into this social salvation that we now see very prevalent today. Where people just can make a profession of faith, declare themselves as Christians, and live any way they want to. I disagree with that. Amen? Amen. I don't believe that's right. Jesus taught us. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. A stranger, they will not follow." I believe as John taught us or declared to us the words of Jesus Christ that we read about in the 10th chapter of John. He talked about that they would have eternal life. Notice there in verse 28 of the 10th chapter of John. He says, "And I will give unto them eternal life." I believe He was telling us there that throughout their life they would continuously receive life, eternal life. Christ, once you get saved, becomes the source of your life. Amen. You can't live without Jesus, huh? We just can't be sustained without Him. He is our life. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is the one that is sustaining us and enabling us and empowering us and anointing us, redeeming us and saving us. If you're saved, it's Christ that keeps you saved. You don't keep yourself. He says, "I will continue and perpetually give unto them eternal life." Look there in verse 28. He said, "And they shall never perish." Praise God. Never perish. Never perish. Never perish. Here's the problem though. People are not hearing the voice of the Lord. They don't hear His voice. They don't know the Lord. The Lord doesn't know them. And if Jesus doesn't know you, on that day of His return, He said, "There shall many on that day say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name cast out devils? In Thy name done many wonderful works?" Jesus said, "I will declare unto them, I never depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." My friend, Jesus must know you, and you must know the Lord. Faith is an amazing walk, but faith without works is dead. Jesus says in this passage, He says, "I will perpetually and continually throughout their lives give them this eternal life. They shall," verse 28 says, "they shall never perish." They will never perish. "These that the Father has given me, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one." When I read about all the extraordinary experiences in the Bible, Daniel. I like Daniel. I love reading about Daniel's visions, his praying, his interaction with angels. Now listen, I don't want to become a mystic, all right? But I think we can go to extremes either way. Amen? We can become so formal that we're not spiritual. Huh? We can be so caught up in no visions, no dreams, no angelic interactivity to the point where we have no visions, dreams, or extraordinary angelic activity. That's dangerous too, isn't it? I mean, either way, we can go to extremes about it. There is a middle of the road that we must adhere to because the Bible teaches it. Amen. Not everyone had angelic experiences, but there were people in the Bible that did. From Abraham to Daniel, I love that Daniel was praying. He is on his knees and he was concerned. He was in great heaviness. He was praying for the Lord to give him an answer. And the moment he began that prayer, there was an angel that was dispatched from the throne of God and showed up right beside of him and revealed unto him the things that were going to happen in the near future. I'm telling you, angels still interact with his people today. They are ministering spirits and they're ministering to those that are heirs of salvation. Oh, that we can see the great host of angels encamped about us. We're just spiritually blind today. That's our problem. We need to be able, like Elijah, tell our servant, hey, just open your eyes. Lord, open their eyes and see that the Spirit of God is with us. The power of God is with us. The angels are ministering to us. And my friend, as we walk with the Lord and we work for the Lord, we're going to see great things of the Lord. Extraordinary things. You will have some extraordinary experiences with the Lord if you walk with the Lord. I am not ashamed to tell you that God has worked miracles in my life. I'm not ashamed to tell you that there are extraordinary things that Angie and I have went through when we were living for the Lord, or as we live for the Lord. We were in situations that were beyond our control, that it seemed like that no human intervention could change. God came on the scene and changed them. I could tell you experience after experience where I have to say, God showed up in a mighty way. God, through His power, did a great work here. God manifested Himself in a mighty way. Experience after experience where God did it, not man. And I think many of you have similar experiences, don't you? Oh, come on. Where God came on the scene. Huh? Extraordinary experiences. Experiences beyond that of just peace, but manifestations of power. I believe there are times. Oh, let me turn to the 46th chapter of Isaiah. I've had a flood of thoughts go through my mind this morning. I had worked on a message almost all week, off and on. And the Lord kind of changed my mind as I rolled out of bed. And I want to follow the Lord today. But from the 46th chapter of Isaiah, I'm going to try to close here in a minute. I like this. Isaiah was making fun of the idol gods that the people of Israel had started to worship. He talked about them, Baal and Nebo, how that they have to be carried on this cart. And they were a burden to the beasts. He was in essence saying, you have to carry your God. What kind of God is that you have to carry around? That he can't even carry himself. What kind of God is that? He goes a little further and he starts making fun of them, how that they bow down to this God. A God that cannot even carry himself. You're bowing down and worshiping and expecting this God to deliver you that cannot even carry himself. What kind of foolishness is that? I mean, he was ridiculing and making fun of them. So this is stupid. How that you're praying to this idol God and you're asking for deliverance and that yet this God cannot answer. He doesn't even speak. You're asking for stuff and the God, this idol God can't even move its mouth. It's an idol. Just a piece of stone or wood. Silly. But notice, he says, but our God is very different. Our God is a God that can hear. Amen. Our God is a God that can answer. Are there times where you need an answer from the Lord? Boy, there's been times in my life, your counsel's good, but nothing but the word of the Lord will do. Amen. There are times the church needs to hear from God. Have you read about the experiences of the book of Acts where the church needed a word from the Lord? There are times we need to hear from God. In Isaiah chapter 46, he said, an idol God doesn't answer. An idol God doesn't deliver. But the true and living God does answer. As the psalmist said, be not silent to me, lest I be like those that go down into the pit. There are times we need to hear from God. We need to hear the very voice of God. We need to know the very will of God.
for our lives.
And he says in this passage, he says, you know, one shall cry unto him and he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. In verse 7. But the true and living God does answer. The true and living God does deliver. Nobody has to carry God around. I'm telling you, he cares for himself. Amen. He doesn't need someone to carry him around. He's independent. He is so independent, that's where he declares himself. He says, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Interacting with the true and living God. We need interaction with the true and living God. And as we walk by faith, as we follow the Lord and we receive the light of the Lord, as we seek His will. Now let me preface this message this morning in saying, we are not to seek extraordinary experiences from the Lord. Listen to me. We're not to seek visions. We're not to pray for dreams. We're not to seek these extraordinary interactions with God. I'm saying that as you simply walk by faith, as you live by faith, my friend, as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the extraordinary will come. God will manifest Himself. He will manifest His power. But as those throughout the Scriptures had profound experiences with the Lord, do you really believe that Jesus Christ was transfigured before Peter, James, and John? Amen. On the Mount of Transfiguration? Can you imagine seeing that? Witnessing that? Experiencing that? There in the book of John, chapter 10, where he says, the Father and I are one. And he had said a little earlier, later, that we were to be one with Him as the Father and the Son are one. I think he was telling us that we ought to have profound experiences with the Father like he had some profound experiences with the Father. And there are occasions in our lives where we do. There are people that have had unique experiences with God. And we should not undermine them. We should not belittle them. We should not silence them. We should allow them the opportunity to praise the God that delivered them. I appreciate your attention this morning. However way God interacts with you, if He tells you to go down and wash 7 times in the river of Jordan, you best do it. Amen? Amen? You won't get cleansing until you do. I'm here to tell you that throughout the Scriptures, do you really believe that woman that touched the hem of his garment was healed? She knew in her heart that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be made whole. I don't know what society has turned God into, but the God of this book is the God I serve. The Christ that is written about in this book is the Christ I follow. And He is alive. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. There have been times in my life where Jesus was by my side. Though it was not a natural light that shone about me, there was a spiritual light that was in me. And it was the light of the Lord of glory. Listen, my friend. Peace, yes. You must have a peace with God. Many of us, at the moment that we believed and trusted in Jesus with all of our heart, when we were born again of the Spirit, we have no better words to explain it but to say that we got peace with God. But let me share something. There are many people throughout the Scriptures got a little more than peace. Amen. Paul and others. I could go through the Scriptures and show you numerous people that they got more than peace. Let's not discredit them. Let's allow them also to stand and declare, hey, this is the way I got it, like this. Here's the problem, and I'm closing. I remember growing up in a Missionary Baptist church, and people would get up from time to time, and they would have extraordinary experiences with the Lord that they felt at liberty to share. I remember people standing and giving testimony that they too saw a great light from heaven. You guys remember that? It's been a long time since I've heard that. That bothers me. That worries me. Because I know God is still the same God that saved Paul on the road to Damascus. And he wasn't ashamed to tell it before kings. If you got it that way, that's the way you need to share it. Amen?